I'll call the meeting of the City Council of the City of Palmer. This is our regular meeting on Tuesday, November 22nd, 2016, to order. And Madam Clerk, would you take the roll?
Councilmember Pete LaFrance.
Present.
Councilmember Brad Hansen. Councilmember David Fuller.
Here.
Councilmember Steve Carrington.
Here.
Councilmember Richard Best.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Linda Combs.
Here.
Mayor Edna DeVries.
Here.
All members present, we have a quorum.
Thank you. If you'll all stand, please. And Councilman Carrington, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item on our agenda is the approval of the agenda. Yes. We have the approval of the consent agenda, which at the present time does not have any items. And then we have the approval of the minutes of the previous meetings, September 27th and October 3rd. What is the council's wishes?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilman.
I move for the approval of the agenda, which includes the approval of the minutes of previous meetings.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. It's been moved by Councilwoman Combs and seconded by Councilman Fuller that the agenda be approved. Any comments from the City Council members? Is there any objections to the motion? Hearing no objections, the motion has been approved. The next item we have is communication and appearance request, and we have a special proclamation for presentation to Charter Academy. So,
before I do it, would you like to introduce? I see some young people here. I don't know if they belong to you or not. I know one does.
So, yeah. So, Samuel, and then do you have any others?
Mr. Olson, I'd be okay. This is the principal, please.
Okay.
And Jeffrey happens to be here, but I think he's here for Boy Scouts too, so.
Okay, all right.
And then Samuel's here.
And Samuel's here. And do you have any of your board members here?
No, our board is not here.
Okay.
My dad and my husband are here, so.
Okay. So that's your board. Well, before I read the proclamation, just want to know how thankful we are, how very pleased we are to have you be a part of our Palmer community. And I know you've done great things out there, and thank you. I know you've done great things out there, and I know you have lots more vision ahead of you and what you want to accomplish, and just want to pledge our help to be there for you. And hopefully when the state starts giving money out again, we can help you achieve some of the vision you have ahead of you. Okay? So this is a recognition of Academy Charter School as a 2016 National Blue Ribbon Exemplary High Performing School. There's only one of three in the state of Alaska, and so we're very proud to have one in Palmer. Whereas, in a recognition of an outstanding commitment to education, Academy Charter was named 2016 National Blue Ribbon Exemplary School by the National Blue Ribbon Schools Program. And whereas Academy Charter School was cited for its strong commitment to excellence in education and learning through its exceptional teaching and energetic staff. Whereas Academy Charter School is one among 279 public and 50 private schools nationally, and one of three Alaska schools to receive this honor in 2016. What an honor. Whereas the Academy Charter School motto,
Preparing students for success has been proven successful in their school community, which is further justified by winning the Blue Ribbon Award. And now, therefore, it be resolved that the City Council, that's all the people here, so it's just not me, congratulate you on the quality of teamwork demonstrated by the staff, students, and parent volunteers of Academy Charter School, which has allowed them to celebrate this Blue Ribbon Award, the most prestigious education award in the nation. Then be it further resolved that the City Council of the City of Palmer does hereby join with the citizens of Palmer to commend Academy Charter School's rigorous efforts to provide quality education, strong leadership, parental participation, and significant progress in achieving high academic standards. So I'd like to present that with you.
Thank you very much.
And we're going to have a brief... And we're going to have a brief, about 5-7 minute at ease right now, so the council members can come and congratulate you, and well, if anybody wants to take any pictures or anything like that, and then we'll come back and finish our meeting. Okay. So come on.
We get to say stuff.
Sure, yeah, here you go.
And I would like to say for myself, both my daughters had their first day at school photograph with Barb. They both went to Academy Charter. They both were definitely set up for success with your tutelage. I really appreciate the efforts that you do with our students, but our community as well.
Ethan was saying anything?
I'm just very happy that our son gets to participate there, and I've really liked everything we've experienced so far.
Thank you. Linda, did you want to say anything?
I know that the school's a tremendous addition to our community. I have two grandchildren that went there, so and they're all grown up now, so
and she doesn't look that old, right?
No, I'm not. I don't know how that happened.
How come we got the gray hair?
I now have a great nephew that is in your school, his first year of school. He's delighted to be there. What you're really lucky to have is my niece by marriage on your board of directors. So I have to echo everything the mayor has said. We know that you're great neighbors in our community, literally for me, since I live down there. And just really, really pleased for you. So well-deserved.
You want to say something?
I guess if everyone else is. Okay. I'll keep it short. As a... former school administrator at a charter school and a professional educator myself, I understand what this means and how difficult it is to achieve. And I thank you for your commitment to the children, because it is a very difficult job. And certainly a recognition like this, it reflects tremendous amounts of work and tremendous amounts of leadership. So congratulations.
Thank you. Brad or Dave?
Sure.
Congratulations.
Okay, well, we thank you very much for coming, and you're welcome to stay for the rest of our meeting, or you are welcome to be excused, whichever you would like.
Oh, sure.
Should we just get the rest of the council? Is that okay?
Yeah,
you want to come?
Don't ever ask Brad if he wants to get in the photo.
You just want to come. We just tell them. Brad, come over here.
You're going to do that look, right? Yeah, okay.
Come on, Brad.
Come on, Brad. We'll get you. We'll wish you in here.
Okay, can you see me?
Ready, everybody over here. One, two. One more time, ready?
I can get it. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I will call the meeting of the City Council back to order, and we are on item F, reports on our agenda, and City Manager, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mm-hmm. Tonight's our statistical night with the roll-up of the data that we collect from our different departments. Starting off with the police department, the calls are down from September. September was a big month due to the fair. When we compare the number of calls from month to month, this is the lowest number of calls this year. Beat out February by 17 calls. The call breakdown, when we look back across the year, it's about where it has been, with the exception of the fair time, which had a significant spike in traffic. So it's, again, we're pretty steady on what we do in the police department. Fire calls, again, looking back at October, numbers were up from September. We had some fires that we responded to, up 22% from last month and 24.5% from last year. Dry conditions, transition month, although not much transition. We don't see any snow on the ground, so it's still a pretty high hazard with the dry grass exposed. We look at the library, again, still maintain about 77% patrons from the borough, with the rest coming from the state within the city. Our patron count down about 20% in October, but our programs were up both for the community events and the library programs. They were both up about 50-60%, so we still have still appears to be an attractive place to go. We look at our compliance, slower month in October for compliance letters, as well as cleanup, follow-up, but permits were up in September or in October compared to September. Sign permits continue to be up compared to other years. Building permits are getting close to previous years. And again, the dollar amount is higher due to Fred Meyer's construction. So when we take out the Fred Meyer's, I'm skipping down to on page 21, down to the year-to-date comparison. When you take out Fred Meyer's, which is about $22 million, our year-to-date valuation is roughly $16 million. And that compares to the fifth highest year in the last 10 years. So it's been a pretty good year when we compare it to other years past. Again, number five out of the last 10 years as far as value. Golf course, we were open in October. It had some snow that shut us down for a couple of days. Cold weather keeps us from being out there. Had 21 active operational days out there. Of course, with 9 less days, the number of rounds will go down. Green fees for that number of rounds was pretty good. Cart rental on down the line, about what we would expect for that number of days. This is the last report until next spring. The golf course will present their year's results in January, and so we'll get a better roll-up from George in January. Some other things not listed on the report. Going back to the golf course, the pro shop will be open for sales for Christmas holiday, so folks want to get gifts. Their hours will be posted, and we'll publish those hours on Facebook and other places so that folks want to help us bring our inventory down, they can do that. Other things that happened in the last couple of weeks, I went to AML, AMMA, the Management Association. Nothing significant from the manager side. It was good for networking. Here's some of the issues, similar issues, at least from the cities that are similar in size to us, issues with the state and with the feds. EPA had made the rounds. Everybody had something to say, and generally on the EPA being in their knickers, so to speak. Based on topics for the summer session, I may not go to that. Just the bang for the buck. Anchorage is great. Wasilla was great because it's close. But Haynes, based on the topics, I'll ask the council, or I'll bring advice. I'll ask the council when it gets closer on whether it's something you think I should go to. But right now I'm leaning to not going to Haynes just because of the cost and the topics and the folks that go. I get a lot from cities that are our size, but the villages, their issues are so completely different from ours, it doesn't help. And then Anchorage and Fairbanks, Anchorage doesn't show up, and Fairbanks is struggling with some similar issues, but the way they handle them as a borough as opposed to in city, it's different than we do. So more to follow on that as we get closer to summer. On dispatch, I met with the borough manager and EMS folks, along with our chief of police. They did offer us a 12-month extension as they still sort out funding for their dispatch center. That'll be at the council next session for consideration. It is a 12-month contract with a slight increase in dollars. We kept telling them it's not about the money. It's about taking care of our people. But you'll see that. We're working through the numbers for our budget adjustment. Fireworks permits, we've issued two this week, one for the 26th Country Cuts and the tree lighting ceremony, and then for the 10th for Colony Christmas. Even with our dry conditions, we feel it's safe enough to conduct those fireworks exhibitions. The fire department will still continue to monitor up until the hour before on whether or not we can let those go, but those both have been approved, so you can see those. You'll see those events being advertised. The airport manager met with the FAA this week, actually yesterday, to confirm the track we're on for our repaving project, as well as we're all safe in here. I must be. I didn't hit the panic button. So the $10 million is still available, and provided we have the matching funds in 2017 in our budget. And they also looked at the project scope that we're proposing with some things additional to the runway repaving, tree removal, things like that. And they said those are in line with the grant proposal. But they also mentioned that the way the funding's going, some of the other airports may not be using their AIP grant funds, and those will be available to us as well if we so desire, again, with a 6.75% matching. But those funds are potentially available if we want to pursue those. And then finally, the wastewater treatment plant, we're at 65% design. We had a design review meeting today. We're rapidly moving towards 95%. One of the interesting pieces and good news side is that we've been working closely with DEC, the folks here local that review the building facility portion of it. And they indicate that normally that's a 60 to 90 day process. The consent decree says it has to be done in 45, but they think they'll have it done much quicker because they're involved in the process with our engineers on a regular basis. So that's good news on that end. The other piece is we get closer to more refined design. The cost estimates are coming down some. What that allows to do potentially is to, if it gets down low enough, instead of phase one, phase two over 5 years, we might be able to consolidate those in a 2 to 3 year period and then shorten our compliance time. Instead of 8 years, we can get it down to five. So that's something that we're considering as we look forward and as the cost estimates come in, so that we can get into compliance quicker, meet the requirements of our consent decree, and then the time period that we have to be in consent gets shorter because the construction is all consolidated. So that's one of the things we're looking at as we look at funding and the cost estimates and how this whole thing will roll together. So that's where we stand on that at this point. So, pending any further questions, that's the end of my notes tonight.
Councilwoman Combs?
Thank you. Could you please remind me what are we on a calendar cycle or a borough assembly fiscal cycle as far as the contract for the dispatch?
Through the mayor, the contract is a 12-month contract. The appropriation, much like our multi-year contracts, the appropriation is there for $450,000 through June. But there's just like the three-year contract, it's the same philosophy. It's based on appropriation, but the contract is for 12 months. So we would contract for $900,000 for 12 months, but the appropriation at the borough level would only take it through June, the end of June.
Okay. Further question, Councilman Best.
What was the date again for the fireworks?
It's Saturday the 26th and December 10th for Colony Christmas.
And the time of the fireworks?
The flyer I saw was 7:18 for the button push.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for country cuts. That's,
thank you.
Yeah. Further questions or comments from the council? Okay, then thank you, sir. We'll move on to the city clerk's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have no report tonight, but I'm available for any questions. I will have more to report at the December 13th meeting.
Okay. Would you maybe bring the council completely up to date as well as the public regarding the meeting on the 29th what will be on the agenda for the meeting of the 29th.
So the packet will go out tomorrow. Right now, the anticipation for the agenda is going to be the first half hour to 45 minutes, the audit report.
Okay.
And then we will move into budget reports. And as of right now, the budget reports, which the city manager can confirm this, will be city clerk's mayor manager budget, or sorry, mayor, council, clerk's budget, city manager's budget, and finance budget.
Okay. All right. And we don't have a definite date for the interviews for the RFP for the city attorney?
That's correct.
Okay. Any other council questions to the city clerk? Okay. The mayor's report, you have in the packets the mayor's report. And then I do have some additional things to go over. I did attend the mayor's meeting in AML last Tuesday. Kalis Engineering presented to us Casey Sullivan, who is of the Sullivans of Anchorage, and well-known people, and he is their spokesperson, and he presented as well as took questions on Kalis's abundant find that's in the North Slope. I have two or three pages of notes, but I won't do all of those, but it's in Smith Bay, and it is the largest oil find in the North Slope in the last 40 years. And he was pretty emphatic regarding the importance of Senate Bill 21, because that's what brought them to Alaska. All of their business is 100% on the North Slope. And if that changes, it will affect how they will be able to explore and how quickly they can explore and bring this oil into our pipeline. And they estimate that there's between 1.8 to 2.4 billion barrels there, which would give us 200,000 barrels per day. And they anticipate that it'll be someplace between 8 and 10 billion in construction, which of course would be a good boost in the arm for the construction workers that normally are on working on the North Slope. Also, we got a report on Senate Bill 91. The Commissioner of Public Safety was there, and one of the things, and I don't know, I haven't had a chance to talk to the city manager about it, but one of the things they were discussing is that there may be some of our ordinances regarding fines and penalties and, you know, jail time or lack of jail time that will have to be modified because of Senate Bill 91, because they are allowing people that commit certain crimes to be just classified as misdemeanors, and rather than to do jail time until maybe they've committed it for the third time. I will take and give to the clerk all the information I got so she can make copies for you so you can look at it. But just looking at that, if our police department has to pick somebody up that has to commit a crime for the third time, then they may be saving money on the Department of Corrections by not having to house that person for the first time, but then that's rolled back onto us because of our police department having to arrest that, investigate three crimes instead of one when the person's taken off the streets. So they're, like I said, the Department of Corrections may be saving some money, but it may end up being shown up in our budget where we have to do some things. So, and the one thing I didn't hear anything at all about was any consideration. It was all about how to reduce the corrections budget, but I did not hear anything regarding victims' rights. What kind of right does the victim have if they, you know, have been insulted or assaulted three times before the person, you know, has, quote, a penalty to pay. So I would anticipate we will see some legislation because I know even in our own area there were some, it was a big part, maybe not a big part, there was a part to play in the election in our Senate race, I think, regarding Senate Bill 91 and how it should have been changed or not adopted or whatever. So we probably will see some movement on the legislators part in that, but I'm not quite sure. But if there are some, do you know, sir, if there are some changes we are going to have to make in order, or Mike, do you know? And if you don't, you can get back to us, but go ahead. You probably are knowledgeable of it.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, I haven't studied that bill particularly. I can report that we don't have any, at least municipal ordinances that in the city of Palmer where jail time is imposed. Now, I know PPD might pick up someone on a state offense, but I don't know exactly how that goes. I mean, obviously, we'll expend resources, and the chief could probably speak to that more authoritatively than I can as to exactly how the process goes. So if we get reimbursed for those activities, that's one thing. If we don't and we do it anyway, we're taking crime off the streets, which
right.
I think is a good thing.
Sure.
So we can look at the SB 91, but I don't think it will impact us directly because I know several years back, all of the ordinances were changed just to impose fines, and there's no okay. jail time, and there's no misdemeanors in the city code. So, and one of the other reasons for that was because if you charge someone with a misdemeanor and they're indigent, you have to pay for their public defender as well.
Sure, right.
So most of the municipalities have moved away from charging under criminal misdemeanors with jail time or fines imposed.
Okay, thank you. Yes,
I just add to that. Our fine schedule is we've adopted the state statute, so we didn't have to adjust anything as opposed to other municipalities that had their own, like Anchorage had their own.
Right,
so they had
right.
to.
Yeah, that they were one session, that said so. Last Tuesday that they were going to have to do it. Yeah,
no, we're in line with state statutes.
Okay. So there's nothing that needs to be changed in our fee schedule that's been presented to us for the budget workshops or anything like that. Okay, good. All right. A couple ideas. We do have the legislative members meeting with the mayors and the managers on December 13th, and I'd ask for some input from the council regarding anything you wanted us to bring up. At our last mayors and managers meeting, we did discuss, I don't know we formally adopted, but we came pretty close to, what was it, about a half a dozen things that we agreed on. One, of course, was education. The other was revenue sharing. And then I know one was PERS, yeah, and the other one was not to have any trickle down from the state where the state wasn't going to provide the services and they expected the local municipalities to provide that. I know there's been some question from the city of Wasilla regarding additional state roads that the state is asking them to maintain and to plow and et cetera. So just some of those kind of things that the state may be withdrawing some of the services and they expect the local municipalities to pick those up. So, yes, Councilman Best.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In particular, SB 91, where it has provisions in there where monitoring companies might have an individual that is from Anchorage that lives out here. They have been released from jail to be on a monitoring system, and then our police department is having to go out and pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
I ask our legislators to find a mechanism to be able so that the cities and municipalities can get reimbursed for those services that we're having to provide because of that bill, because we could be expending quite a bit of money and time and resources from our officers that are paid to deal with things that are happening within inside our city limit.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the SB 91, and releasing a lot of these folks and having ankle monitoring systems on them. On one hand, you can see where it could be somewhat beneficial for the community, allow them to get back to work, whatnot. But for the ones that are in non-compliant, then you have an amount of resources within the side city limits that would have to be expended. So if we can find a mechanism to be reimbursed for that, mm-hmm. I'd like to see the legislature take care of that.
Right. Yes, you're absolutely right. Good point.
And then, Madam Mayor, I apologize. A second one would be home rule municipalities to be able to be self-determining, in particular with situations like what we've seen with the marijuana initiative, and then thus the marijuana initiative banning us from being able to determine what businesses to allow as it pertains to accessory devices. So.
Mm-hmm. A few more, just two or three other things I want to highlight. One is, it seemed like to me when I was on the council, the Golden Heart Award always sort of snuck up on us because, you know, it's due to the first part of February and January, we generally only have two meetings. So I just want to remind you about that. If you can go ahead, even now, I just this week, because of an article that was in the Frontiersman regarding a gentleman within our community that got the Veterans Advocacy Award from the governor, I thought, and they reside inside the city. So start thinking about those, and anytime you have somebody, go ahead and refer them to the clerk. I think the clerk has started a file there, and so we can not be behind the eight ball this year. It always seemed like we missed the February deadline before, so let's try to get ahead of the curve there. Also, the marijuana committee now, because of the vote by the borough, has been reinstituted, and we are going to be meeting on December 15th. As you may remember, the former mayor was the member, and then I was the alternate, and I did probably serve 90% of those meetings, but on the 13th, we'll be bringing forth the reappointment of the person and the alternate from the council. So if any of you want to serve on that, I would like to move into the regular delegate position, or if somebody else wants to, we can, you know, discuss that. But that's going to be on the agenda. I don't know how active they're going to be. Before, we were meeting at least once a month, and their meetings were generally either Monday or Thursday nights of the week, and they generally met like at 6 o'clock for 2 or 3 hours. So if any of you are interested, that will be on the agenda on the 13th, and you will see that. Inside my office, right on the very first table that's there, is a basket that I am starting to put in all the mail. We get lots, you know, we got like a letter of thank you from the Matsu Miners, and there's a number of magazines that we get, and then, you know, just we get like the Alaska Journal of Commerce and things like that, and I don't just, you know, I read them, but I don't necessarily want to throw them away until all of you have gotten a chance, if you want to look at any of those. And so this store on my office will be open anytime, you know, I'm here, and if you come some other time when I'm not here, the clerk and I believe the city manager both have access, and you can just go in there if there's some things you want to take and read or whatever, just so that you're aware of what kind of mail is coming in and to the city council. And then one last thing, last year we had a student, a high school student that came and wanted to be sort of a liaison person between the high school and the council. And I don't know if anything ever happened regarding that. I mean, I can't remember anything. Yeah, in one meeting. And so what I was thinking about was, and I don't know how that came, whether that came from the student government of Palmer High or what it was, but since we're going to relook at the boards and commissions in January, if we had high school students, not only from Palmer High or homeschool students, you know, whatever, just that age group, that would maybe be interested in just being on like our Parks and Rec board, or maybe if there was a high school student that was interested in flying. You know, I know our youngest son, you know, got his pilot's license when he was 16, that maybe they would be interested in sitting in on the airport advisory board or something. Or, you know, and if somebody one was maybe interested in government, maybe they could sit in on the Planning and Zoning Commission or something like that. And they wouldn't, we wouldn't give them a vote, but maybe when we redo with the borough, the board and commissions, that we could put in there something about the fact that if the council desired and there was an application from a young person, that they could serve, that could serve on that board and just have input. So just sort of put that in the back of your mind also, that and we'll discuss that more, but just start thinking about some of that. Anybody have any questions or comments regarding my report? Okay, thank you very much. City Attorney?
Madam Mayor, Council, thank you. I too attended some of the AML, particularly the newly elected officials, and I taught classes there, which I always enjoy doing. It's great to get questions and see new people coming in. And I also presented along with a colleague to the clerks on several issues as well. And it's fun to get questions because it taxes your understanding of issues, and not, you don't have the answers to everything. So we all learn that as we navigate through our careers. The other thing I wanted to call out to folks is there is a statewide sales tax bill that's been proposed. Some of you may be aware of that, and I think that's an important bill to look for. The effective date of the bill was to be 2018, but one of the issues that I thought was interesting, it would be a layered tax on top of the city sales taxes, but the state would take over collections, and I believe also would be interested in an administrative fee being imposed on the municipalities. So I think that that's a very important piece of legislation to pay attention to, particularly if you'll be meeting with the legislative folks in May. Another thing, which doesn't directly affect us, but I heard it on the radio driving up this evening, I guess there's one of the Anchorage Assembly members is proposing an Anchorage sales tax as well. Of course, they have a 60% requirement under their charter to adopt that sales tax, but I think it's more of the maneuvering that we'll see related to fiscal issues and revenue generating measures.
Good. That's excellent.
And then one last point.
Sure.
I checked the other day with DOJ, and they checked with the AUSA on the district court judge signing our CD. And they were giving the judge, of course, they're appointed for life, so you can't be too pushy with them, but a gentle nudge to see if it could get signed.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Council has any questions or comments to the city attorney? No? Maybe if we could have the clerk research that pre-filed bill on the sales tax and send it out electronically to all of the city council, so we could be prepared, and especially to me and the city manager. So the meeting on December 13th, that we will have that, and we can take and reach out to them. I, for one, am not interested in the city collecting our sales tax and charging us administrative fee for it. So I don't know about the rest of you. So anyway, the next item on our agenda is audience participation, and it's open to anybody that wants to come forth and speak to the council. We do have a sign-in sheet. If you're representing a group, we will give you 5 minutes. And if you're just single, even if you want to talk about the same subject, you can come and speak for 3 minutes. So audience participation is now open. And when after you sign in, sir, there's a button that'll turn the mic on to red. So if you'll do that, so it'll be recorded, please. And state your name and then go from there.
And for those of you that are sitting in the audience over here, underneath the calendars are what we call agendas, which you see up on the board. But if you want a paper copy of anything that we're going to be discussing that's on our agenda tonight, you can, you're welcome to take one of those. So you'll have those, you can follow along. And if you have to write a report after you're gone, you'll have that to put into your report.
Hello.
Good evening.
My name is Daniel Treat, and thank you for this opportunity to speak with you this evening and bring to your attention something that only recently was brought to my attention.
Sir, can I ask you if you're speaking for yourself or a group?
For myself.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
I'm sure it is a misunderstanding, but that is requiring the owners of single-family residences to obtain a business license in the city of Palmer if they rent their homes or collect any revenue for any services in those homes. And the ordinance that I'm referring to is 3.16040F, which states, and I'll quote it, renting rooms or living quarters or offices or other commercial space of whatever name or nature by hotels, apartments, rooming houses, public lodging houses, or by firms or individuals renting single or multiple unit residences or offices or other commercial space, etc. I believe that when this ordinance was adopted, that it was cut and pasted from another city's bylaws and does not reflect the residents of Palmer or the council's intent, and it was not enforced until fairly recently. Did you know that if you collect money or services from anyone who is staying with you, that you must obtain a business license from the state and the city and pay tax monthly on the gross monies? I think the IRS only collects on the gross, maybe for windfalls, but gross monies that you receive, and the city can estimate the monies received up to $1,000 up to for every month. For an example, if say your son comes back from college and comes into the house and you say, son, I want $100 from you to throw into the cow's kitty to pay for things. At that point, you are renting to your son, and he has to get a business license from the state and the city, and then you're required to pay the city a tax monthly on that money that you received. If you serve someone, then you are a business rendering a service according to 3.1620. If you have, say, your mother-in-law stay with you, don't use the term guest room, because that implies, is that my time?
Yeah, you're 3 minutes.
A lodging house, can I continue this? Is anybody interested enough to hear this?
Well, we have a limit of 3 minutes or so. I'll give you another, about 30 seconds.
Oh, boy, okay. Which requires a business license, okay? So if your home becomes a business, does all of your furnishings and appliances become business property and taxable? If you sell your home, are you liable to be taxed on the sale of your business? If you happen to purchase a home which has had to get a business license but is in the rears and owes money to the city, you assume that liability. Many of the residents of Palmer, including us sitting here, will at some point stumble into this oversight and be liable to start a business and suffer the ramifications of that. And the vast majority of the residents of Palmer do not know that this ordinance exists. I was one of them. My wife and I purchased a home in Palmer approximately 14 years ago. Approximately 8.5 years ago, a single mother had 2 children, moved into our home. In good faith, I rented our home and have enjoyed having her and her children in there. And I consider her a friend, and we have not had a lease in 8 years. At that time, I established a landlord-tenant agreement with the City of Palmer for the utilities, water, and sewer. We were not informed of this business license mandate at that time, nor have I been contacted by the city in the last 8 years concerning it until this last summer. We recently received a certified letter from the city on November 3rd, dated the 19th, for a bill of $5,442.88 on back payments of from January 10th of 2010. Am I responding to this letter? This was for $4,917.88 on sales taxes and $525 on business license set to the fee that is now.
Okay, sir.
Okay.
Sorry, we have a three minute.
I understand it.
So, can I ask you, have you come in and talked to the city manager regarding this issue?
I have not.
Okay, so.
Is that the course of action that I should take at this point?
You're welcome to come before the city council and do what you did.
Okay.
But
because if I read, they gave me 33 days to comply and pay $5,442.88 in back fees.
I understand.
Or I'm sent to a collection agency, some sort of encumbrance on the house. And so I think that is just something that this council and the council who didn't enforce it when they first implemented this to all of a sudden say this is a slippery slope, we're going to go ahead and charge you back payments on something that we knew that you did that you didn't know you did.
Okay.
So unfortunately, I need more time to actually present this.
Right.
So it's too bad that 3 minutes goes by so quickly.
Yeah,
but I appreciate you all listening real quick and please guide me on the best way to proceed from here.
Do you have a card or this is in the city manager? And so, call his office tomorrow and set up a time to meet with him.
Okay.
And after you meet with him and you don't feel it's fully resolved, you're welcome to come back to any of our public meetings and under audience participation, come back and talk to us again.
Okay. Thank you. Yep. Thank you very much. And, and I'm sure that I'm not alone in the public. We're all in the same boat on this.
Yes. All right. Thank you, sir, for coming. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to come and address the council on any matter? Good evening, sir.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I reside in Matanuska Valley. I follow the public process. The public process done appropriately, the decision made by the governing body is more like in the public interest. My comments are focused on tonight on action memorandum number 16.0-081, dealing with an extension on a contract with MTA. Now, I've told you in the past, as you know, I attend a lot of meetings, that I attend the board of directors for MTA. If I said MEA, I meant MTA. As members, they do not provide the packets until you come to the meeting, just before, and then they pass stuff. They also don't allow the public to see a recording, although MEA, which is least transparent, they have recordings and they put it on the website. So that's how bad MTA is. But I am concerned about this deal. In particular, number one, shows a dollar transfer continuation. Where is the comparison of information of how other cities and boroughs handle this such an arrangement? Is this, you may quote me, a sweetheart deal? Remember, this is public property. And also, I want to also address the concern, too, is that a member of the council present does have a conflict in presiding on this issue, Brett Hansen, because a family member is employed with MTA. So when this item is coming up, and you need to address the conflict of interest prior to discussing it. But on all conflict of interest issues, the beginning of the meeting should be noted in the beginning of the meeting so that you don't have to wait toward later in the meeting so everyone is aware of the conflicts that are going to happen in the meeting. So the conflicts from this matter is happening tonight. It should have been addressed toward the beginning, and I would encourage you in the future to the beginning of every meeting address those conflicts so that something doesn't happen in the discussion. Also on the conflict of an issue, you need to, the person, whoever has that conflict, has declared it has that conflict and it's agreed to, they need to remove themselves from hearing any discussion of the item and not sitting in the audience or sitting up there and hearing the information. With all due respect, the Borough Assembly doesn't do that. They leave the room and they're not an ear side of what's going on. And I would also end with this comment. You're not holding any public hearing, but the fact is it's put on an item and it's fast-tracked because it's put on an agenda, and the agenda is only a few days before for the public to see. So with all reason, you should delay it for lack of more information in comparison to what's going on here on how other operations handle it. And in closing, state law provides a reasonable opportunity for the public to be heard, but is this a reasonable opportunity for the public to be heard on something that's just put on the agenda in a few days with a party that's shown itself not being very transparent? That closed my comment.
Thank you, sir.
Can I just tell to the record, 3 minutes, they also have another opportunity in this meeting for anyone to speak for 3 minutes later on this meeting.
Right, yes.
So that what should be noted.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the audience that would like to come forth and address the council?
Can we do it
together? Sure. Yeah, as a group, you most certainly may. I don't think we have a definition of whether a group is 2 or 15.
Some kind of sale there.
Yeah.
Okay, you get 2
so
for
you
the price
would sign
of 5.
In, if you haven't signed in, ma'am, would you sign in, please? And then we'll go ahead. We don't start your time until after you're ready to start talking. There you go.
Great.
You have 2 minutes.
Oh, I got 2 hours.
For those out in radio land, the clerk is having fun with the clock. Okay, just wait now until she starts, and then we'll start her. Okay.
It's official. It's always a pleasure to be here. I love coming to the Palmer City Council. Not that I get to do it very often, but my name is Stephanie Nowers. I live in the Canoe Lake subdivision by Kepler-Bradley Lakes, which is not in the city, but as I've testified before about live, breathe, eat, and shop in the city. My kids go to school here. I go to Fred Meyer. I'm doing loops between my house and Palmer all day long, so if you need a ride between that area. Anyways, I'm here because of the construction debris and asbestos dump proposal, which is back again. I wanted to make sure the council knew about that. It's scheduled for a public hearing December 5th in front of the borough. The reason it is back again is not because the proposal has changed at all. It was sent back on a technicality that literally was how they phrased the question to recuse a planning commissioner who had done business with the company. They should have asked the question, should he be allowed to stay? And they said, I'm sorry, that's how they phrased it, and they should have, Robert's Rules order, should he be forced to go. So we're back. The proposal hasn't changed. The council previously opposed this, and I'm asking tonight that you again resubmit your resolution 14-038 that you passed when this came before the Planning Commission last time in December of 2014, and would love if somebody would come speak to it. I think the city manager last time came to the public hearing. I know this is outside the city limits, but and it's close to Kepler-Bradley Lakes. It's just south of the shooting range and the gravel pits as you look to the right where you see those lakes. It's of concern to the city because there's city-owned property nearby. the city has talked about annexing that and possibly using that for a water supply. It's also the gateway to Palmer, which is referenced in your comprehensive plan. It would have a visual impact and would set a tone for the redevelopment of those gravel pits in the surrounding area. If this is allowed to be put in, the property values of the existing subdivisions will not only go down, but the gravel pits where they've talked about putting high-end residential subdivisions, I kind of doubt they're going to go in next to a dump that has construction debris and asbestos. Already that property that they're talking about developing on, which is 100-plus acres, is valued at less than my one-acre home. I get a little upset about the amount of property taxes I'm paying and potentially having those property values decrease. That's money that comes into the borough and eventually flows to Palmer, so I think it's a concern to Palmer as well. If anything, this company's record has gotten worse since the last time this came before you. If you remember, they had dumped illegally on the site. They told the borough they had cleaned it up. The borough came out. They hadn't. Those are some of the pictures of what they dumped out there. This is shredded construction debris. They dumped into water. They had to be cited in district court and receive basically a threatening letter from the DEC to get to clean up. Then they appealed it even to the Court of Appeals and have the ruling from the Court of Appeals, which affirmed it. Just to give you a sense of what kind of company this is, some of their arguments were this material is not trash, but then their owner had to admit it contained trash, which it's not supposed to contain. There was diapers in there, food waste, all sorts of things that they've told us when they're screening asbestos and construction debris that they will do a much better, you know, thorough job. So this is an indication of how they work. They also argued that they weren't not complying with the cleanup order. They just weren't cleaning up. And I'll give you that so you can see that for yourself. This is significantly different, as you've noted before, than the site that's over by the fairgrounds. This site is surrounded by water. I hope I have a good picture of that. It's significantly bigger, and they would accept shredded debris, and you've got a company with a bad record. So there's a lot of differences, and you noted those in your last resolution.
To the clerk.
There's also ample evidence of the threat these can pose if they are done wrong to both air and water quality. I've talked with environmental officials in Ohio and Wisconsin, and also with an arm of the Center for Disease Control, which has labeled these a public health threat in some places because of drywall that rots and creates hydrogen sulfide. They've actually, in extreme cases, had people die in the pits. And in Florida, they had a case where they had to put air filters in the surrounding homes. In Ohio, the EPA tested 30 of C&D landfills. They had found 29 had 8 or more parameters above health-based standards, such as lead and including carcinogens, arsenic, vinyl chloride, and benzene. An independent hydrologist who reviewed this said it could contaminate wells up to a mile away. It also, their own record showed the level of manganese would potentially be to the levels you would discolor your teeth and skin. And Pioneer Meadows already has high manganese levels. So as you can tell, I have a lot of information about this. If there's anything more you have questions about, I'm happy to send it. And I also have the reports to back it up because I don't think you should ever take someone's word. You should be able to see it for yourself.
Okay, thank you. And for the council people that were here, we did pass a resolution in opposition to this, and that has been sent to the borough, and I think we're also a friend of the friend of the court or something. Are we friend of the lawsuit?
Madam Mayor. No, the council at the time decided to present a resolution opposing
right.
the monofill, and also the then city manager testified against it at the Borough Planning Commission meeting on this.
Okay, all right. And I believe the resolution is in the packet for the December 5th meeting, is that correct? Go ahead, sir.
I reviewed the 3,600 pages for the Planning Commission that they received. Our testimony is in there and refers to the resolution. I didn't see our specific resolution, but it's referred to several times in there. The mayor testified okay. on 1 December, and the city manager testified on 15 December. And the resolution that's of last year, of 2014, 2 years ago.
Okay.
And the resolution for the Planning Commission is not in support. The draft resolution that's going to the Planning Commission is not in support of the conditional use permit.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Give the information to the city clerk and she will see. Okay. Anyone else from the audience that would like to testify on any matter? Anyone else from the audience that would like to address the council? Okay. Seeing no one else come forward, audience participation is closed. And as one of the people speaking at the during the audience participation did point out, that we do have another audience participation at the very end of our meeting. The next item on our agenda is action memorandum, and our first item on the agenda is action memorandum number 16-081. Hansen?
Yeah. As Eugene Carl Haberman noted in his comments, I do in fact have a conflict of interest, as my wife works at MTA, a very reputable and well-recognized company in the Matanuska-Susitna borough,
okay,
and especially the city of Palmer. Uh-huh. And I would wish to recuse myself from action on this item.
Okay. Is there any objections from the council regarding him reclusing himself? Okay. All right. So we will let Councilman Hansen depart, and then whichever way you want to go. Okay? All righty.
So what? Mayor?
Yes, Councilman Carrington.
I guess I have a question. I know it's been stated that someone recusing themselves should not be in earshot of anything going on, but to me it just seems wrong that you would not allow them to hear the public process that anyone in the public could. So I guess I have a question for the attorney if that comment is valid or not.
All right. Go ahead, sir.
Madam Mayor, thank you. Council Member Carrington, that's a great question, and I think that there's different schools of thought on it. Some folks have people leave the room, others don't. When we had a conflict of interest situation, we had a couple of attorney opinions, and one opinion was that no, the person subject to the conflict could remain in the room, and I think that's fine if that's the will of the council and the person. I mean, you can't force them to stay in the room, but I think you also can't force them to leave the room. And what if they said they weren't going to leave the room? What are you going to do? So anyway, I think that's a good question, and I think they can stay in the room.
Okay. All righty. Any other questions? Okay. What is the council's wishes on action memorandum 16-081? Councilman Best?
Point of order, Madam Mayor, and it might have just blown past me and I didn't recognize it. So did we accept that there was a conflict of interest? Do we vote on that?
I just asked if there was any objection from the council
for
him to exclude himself, and I didn't hear or see anybody, so then he just stood up and left the room.
Okay, so the ruling is that we agree that he did have a conflict of interest. Okay, I just want to clarify that's...
Yeah. Okay. All righty. Now, what's the council's wishes on the action memorandum? If you want to take action, we need a motion.
Move to approve.
Okay. Second. Councilman Best has moved the approval of action memorandum number 16-081, and Councilwoman Combs has seconded. Discussion from the council. Yes, Councilman Best.
Just for the record, can we get a quick thumbnail from the manager?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The long and short is the MTA realized that our contract was coming due, our lease on this was coming due, and they wanted to negotiate the lease similar to they've done with other places. That process got to be rather cumbersome. We asked that we just extend the current agreement, amending it to an additional time. It's a cell tower that we have our emergency services radio antennas attached to. So the tit for tat, the dollar is of really no value, but the cost of building our own antenna, the cost of maintaining our own antenna would far outweigh the ability to piggyback on an antenna that's already in place. And then it, again, it would be just, we started down the road at a fair market value, and it just became too cumbersome to do that, because it did come out to be of equal value when we started down that road, and then the whole technicality of payment and everything else. So we went back to the table, looked at the original lease agreement, and just determined it would be best just to extend this contract as is. So that's how we got to where we are.
Any further questions or comments from the council? The council ready to vote then? Is there no other questions or comments? Would you like to do a voice? We probably may, or should we do a roll call since we are short one person, or just do a voice? Which is there a preference since we have one? No, it doesn't. Either way. Okay. For all of those that are in favor of action memorandum 16-081, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Say nay. Okay, the motion passes. So, Councilman Carrington, would you go get Councilman Hansen, please, so he can come back? All right. Okay, the next item on our agenda is action memorandum number 16-084. What is the wishes of the council? Councilman Best has moved.
Second.
Councilman Carrington has seconded. Questions or comments from the council? Anybody want a staff report or any additional information beside what's in the packet?
Yeah, I'd love a staff report on this.
Oh, okay. Okay. You have a staff report,
I think you
better
please. You just saw me bring my microphone down. So this is the conclusion of our grant for the Bogard Water Extension and the extension, the southwest, not the southwest, but the loop that we're making. So this is coming from the grant that was used to extend Bogard water mains. We don't have enough to completely do the booster project. We have our legislative priority list. We have a request on that list for an additional $500,000. That thought process was we wouldn't have this money left over from the project. We have money left over, so instead of giving it back, I wanted to at least get the noodle pushed a little farther by having the design work done, get the survey out of the way, and also as part of that process, the rights of way along the Bogard extension have some spots that are pretty wide, so we don't have to necessarily purchase land like we thought we would. We've got a permit from the borough to actually build this booster station in the right of way. So then there's no land acquisition involved there. So what this does, this expends the rest of our grant fund for that project, and then it sets us up for the future if we do get legislative grant of another $500,000 to build the building, buy the pump, and then do the rest of the hydrology that's involved in that. So this takes us one step closer, and then it expends our grant monies that are out there remaining from that project.
Further questions or comments either from Councilman Frank?
I'm just wondering if there's a time frame in which the work would need to be done for this engineering project to still be applicable.
The grant expires in June of next year, so we have to expend the funds or give them back by June of 2017. The prep work, there's some risk in if we do a lot of prep work and it takes years before we can get any legislative grant money to actually build the building, there's risk there. But the survey was, it would still be valid, and the design work for the building and electrical work would still be valid. So the risk we run is if it goes too long, weeds grow in, and any site prep we do potentially would have to be redone to some degree. But that is a risk that we did check with the grant administrator to make sure that this was something we could do so that we weren't in violation of our grant terms, so that if we aren't able to complete it in the amount of time, that we can go back and redo some of this work. But the design piece is really what we're looking at.
Okay. Further questions or comments? Either general comments, Councilman Hansen.
So I have a question on this going from zone 2 to zone 3 in a, the requirement. So I suspect that anything to the west of Arabian Acres is what you're saying is it has to be pressurized to be in a zone 3. And past Equestria or Arabian Acres is only Colony and Colony Middle Schools, and they are serviced by their own wells. So what's the likelihood long-term of the borough connecting to the City of Palmer water system? Is this something that, I mean, is this something that we need even for the longer term?
Through the mayor, the school system has indicated that they will hook up to the water system, primarily for life safety, for their sprinkler system. But we can't do that now because we don't have the pressure. So this, correct. there is a desire for this. We don't have anything in writing that says they'll sign up soon as that's done. What this also would do is when we make the loop eventually from Bogard down and across to the Four Corners, that would also help in the future. But it's not a requirement now. It's just, and there's not significant demand, but those two schools would tie in for the life safety piece if it's, once it's available.
Their fire suppression systems currently work now. They have booster pumps. Is that correct? Or
I'm not sure how they're, through the mayor, I'm not sure how they're currently configured, but that's what they've indicated why they would tie into our system.
Any other questions of either staff or general discussion on the motion? Okay, so all of those in favor of action memorandum number 16-084, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. Motion's carried. The next item on our agenda is action memorandum 16-085 regarding the cancellation of our regularly scheduled meeting on December 27th. The wishes of the council.
Madam Mayor.
Young Councilman Combs.
I move that the council approves action memorandum number 16-085, canceling the December 27th, 2016 regular council meeting.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Councilman Carrington. It's been moved by Councilwoman Combs and seconded by Councilman Carrington that action memorandum number 16-085 be approved. Council comments, questions, discussion? Councilman Best.
So my concern is, since we have recently had to adjust the time frame for us to hear certain items, and with our budget season being what it is, walk me down the path of we have to have a meeting on the 27th. At that point, would it be a special meeting if we had to have kind of, we kind of hung ourselves out to dry, it just wouldn't be a regular meeting?
Yeah, if something, well, I'm sorry, Councilman Carrington, did you want to answer his question?
I'll try.
Okay, go ahead.
If I remember the code right, we have to adopt our budget by the 15th of December.
Uh-huh.
So a meeting on the 27th wouldn't be helping us with the budget. So in my mind, any meeting we'd have to have, we need to kick around long before the 27th.
Right. And I think the other thing, the tentative schedule for the interviews for the attorney is scheduled for the first part of December. Our contract does expire, I believe, the end of December, right? So if we didn't come to a conclusion or a selection by that time, then yes, we may have to end up having a special meeting having another action memorandum, canceling this action memorandum, so we can have a regular meeting.
Madam Mayor.
But yes, Councilman Best.
And I understood the that we had to have our budget adopted beforehand. Mm-hmm. But because of everything being pushed back the way that it is, that's what my concern is. As long as we have the ability that if we need to have a special meeting, now mm-hmm. this is just addressing that our code says we have to have two regularly scheduled meetings, mm-hmm. and this is that regularly scheduled, so we're canceling right. it. As long as we have the opportunity to have a special, in the, if we had to, right. I'm okay with it.
Right, okay. Yeah, and this action memorandum does not say that we cannot have any more meetings after December 13th. And I think, I'm sorry, go ahead, sir.
The budget, there's two different pieces about the budget which are not necessarily conflicting. The budget has to be passed by the 15th or adopted by the council by the 15th, which our next regular meeting closest to that is the 13th. If the budget's not adopted by the 1st of January, then the proposed budget is adopted. But you also have to adopt the budget during a regular meeting, not a special meeting. So if there's concern that you won't be able to adopt the budget on the 13th, then you probably shouldn't cancel the 27th because you can't adopt a budget on a special session.
Or emergency.
I don't know about an emergency. I don't think it addresses.
Well, we can have an emergency meeting, though, with 3 days, 24-hour notice, right? So, yeah.
So my recommendation is if there's concern that we aren't going to pass the budget by the 13th, then mm-hmm. you postpone this action until the 13th.
Okay. Okay.
Unless you just have full faith and confidence in your city manager that your budget's going to get done by the 13th.
Well, we cancel a few more meetings, you're not even going to be able to present it. But if it automatically, if we don't adopt it, and automatically the 1st of January becomes an adopted budget, then you don't have nothing to worry about, right?
No, but you can amend the budget the first session in January. So it's a technicality.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilman Best.
Then I would propose uh-huh. that we postpone this action until the 13th.
Okay.
At that point, it can be the last item in our agenda. And at that point, if we have accomplished everything that we need to, we could pass this as well that night.
Okay. I'll take that as a motion to postpone until December 13th, and seconded by Councilman Carrington. Is there discussion on the motion to postpone? Okay. All those in favor of postponing the Action Memorandum 16-085 until December 13th, 2016, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Okay, so it's postponed until that time. The next item on our agenda is audience participation. So again, the council is open to audience participation, and you're welcome to come back and finish up for the last 3 minutes, sir. And we can have you don't need to sign in again, but if you state your name when you start again because of the recording. Thank you.
Okay, this is Daniel Treat speaking again. Okay, so bringing you up to speed, I've got this letter from the city of Palmer. Just got it. It's post-dated the 19th, received it the 3rd. Anyhow, it gave me 33 days and says by the 21st of November that I have got to comply with this or there will be other further collection activities. It's the city may make an estimate. It's per Palmer Municipal Code 316-188 and B. The city may make an estimate of the tax due on any information available to it. Notice of the estimate of the tax shall be furnished to the seller, and then the amount therein shall become final 33 days after the purpose of determining liability of the seller to the city, unless the seller earlier files an accurate return supported by satisfactory records indicating a lesser liability until the city provides a greater liability within 6 years from the date of the establishment. First of all, I never had a business license, didn't know it needed a business license, and then was sent this letter, like I say, for $5,442.88.
But the city knew that I had a property that I was renting to a lady because I had filed a city landlord agreement and was never notified about this. And all of a sudden, I just get this letter saying, you owe us $5,000. Post-dated clear back to 2010. So I think there's some slippery slopes, liability issues on that. Now, quickly, the intent of this ordinance was not to impede or restrict us, that it was not originally enforced. The fact that when this amendment was put in, it was never enforced kind of tells me that the people who put it in realized that it didn't pertain to single-family residences. So the paradox of this is the far-reaching paradox box can be closed by removing one word from the 316.040F, and that is single. If you just remove the word single from the residence, this whole thing would go away. So with that, I would like to thank you for your time and would like to encourage you to resolve this matter in a timely fashion, not just for myself, but for everyone who owns a single-family home in the city of Palmer. And anybody who does will have a problem with this. If it doesn't matter, at some point, anybody owning a single home, family home in Palmer who has someone stay in it, your mother-in-law stays and gives you money, you are liable to get a business license. And if you sell that home and you have a business license, then you have liable to taxes. So all of us need to be cognizant of that. And it's not something that we shouldn't ignore. And we should, even people in the audience needs to be aware of it too, to be careful about this. And so please, at this point, I don't know what to do, being this letter says I have to pay this in 30 days, and today's the date, so please guide me.
Okay.
I will contact, contact
the city manager in the morning. Okay, you're in the office tomorrow.
Thank you so much for you guys' time, for hearing me again.
And thank you. Okay, anyone else from the audience that would like to come forth?
I thought of something. This is Stephanie Nowers. I was going to say, although it's correct that the resolution is likely in that packet that went to the Planning Commission, it is 3,600 pages and probably growing, and we have two new commissioners. So the reason I was requesting that the city either resubmit it or come to the meeting is just to highlight that because their eyes are going to glaze over. So much appreciated if you can do that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Audience, anyone else for audience participation?
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I reside in the Matton Center Valley. I follow the public process. The public process is done appropriately. The decision made by the governing body is more like in the public interest. I'd like to make a note on the dump, but they're leaving, and I would like to say something, but I'll say it afterwards.
I'm sorry.
God.
Thank you.
Now, one, I would like to thank the members of the council last night for agreeing with me that two meetings were not properly advertised in violation of the Open Meetings Act and proper notice, and you can't agree to cancel the meeting that you were sitting in last night, and you canceled the meeting for today. That was at 6 o'clock, so thank you. I made note of that, and I do credit when I see good things, and I certainly will let other people know, particularly the borough, at their public meetings, most likely the next one. Unless they probably already know about it. Things get around. But let's go on this thing about conflict of interest. With all due respect, Municipality of Anchorage Assembly, whenever there's a conflict of interest, they leave the room and they're not in earshot. The Borough Assembly, whenever there's a conflict of interest, they leave the room and they're not in earshot. They go in a room, another room, doors closed, and then they're notified to come back in, discussion's ended, and come back in. But that's not what happens here, I guess. If you're going to discuss something outside of that area, and it would have been best when that issue about the conflict issue came up, Brad Hansen, council member, left, and that first part is critical. That wasn't dealing with MTA, but was dealing with the issue about leaving the room, and he wasn't here, and he should have been here in that conversation. But then he came around, and then he went in the back, and you could hear what's going on, and that's wrong. I remember previous mayor during the meeting. When there was a conflict, she sat in the audience. I also remember, I attend a lot of meetings, I remember when Planning Commission member candidate from the borough was sitting in the audience, and that place was packed, and there was issues, and then I made reference to the next meeting and says, you're going to have to decide to make sure without saying the issue, and they immediately addressed it that they would prevent that. But that's not what's going on here, and you need to stop it. In reference to the records, there was a reference to the Borough Planning Commission in reference to the parties that spoke here and about records. With all due respect, here I go and criticize the borough. Those records do not reflect to what the people say, the audience and comments. What you're going to see is a record, per se, of what the planning commissioners say. But there is a number of people concerned on issues like was approached here today, a lot of people concerned one way or the other. But whatever they say, you don't see those comments and what they say at those meetings. They might have this closing comment permission to just say they're in those packets. You might see some papers enclosed if they made the deadline, and that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else that would like to come forth and testify under audience participation? Okay, I'll close audience participation. And the clerk has reminded me that I rushed through on the bottom of page 3 the record of items placed on the table. So I'll ask the clerk to report on the record of items placed on the table.
I do want to know that we have received handouts from during public participation from Stephanie Maurer. Maurer's not exactly sure how to say her name, but we did receive handouts. These handouts will be placed, are now being announced as an item placed on the table. They will be scanned, put on the website, and provided to all of the council in your mail slots.
Okay. Ready? So we're ready for council comments. Councilman Carrington, we'll start with you tonight, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mm-hmm. A couple things. I want to thank the mayor on behalf of my wife and son for the award given to Academy Charter. We really appreciate that. Another is on the Canoe Lake resolution, something that's changed since the last time. As far as my status, my father owns a cabin and a lot out there. He hasn't passed away yet, but he has dementia, so my brother and I are the active co-trustees of his property.
Okay.
So I'll probably have some more discussions with the mayor and the attorney just to figure out what that really means, if we're going to have any action on that in the future.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for making that a matter of record. Councilman Friend.
No comments tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilman Best.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I too attended AML all week last week. It's a great opportunity to engage in conversation with others and to hear the concerns and pitfalls that many other municipalities are going through. One of the biggest is the PERS obligation that we deal with, and when municipalities are having to restructure their organization and cut some employees and how that impacts them, the communities that are smaller than us are being impacted at a much greater rate than we are, so we are somewhat fortunate, but the impact will be shared all around. I am a little reluctant to inform you that I did not win the seat on the board for the vice president's, the second vice president. There was three candidates that were viable for that. Both the other two that I was competing against were mayors, and there was probably around 70 different communities that were voting on that, and I missed it by one vote. And I would like to thank Assemblyman Beck for showing up for just a 5-minute period because nobody from the borough was available to cast their vote, and he swung by from his work to be able to cast that one vote himself. But when you have municipalities that don't show up, some areas have a larger base to be able to pull off of. But humbling and very encouraged about more participation from other communities in our area. So continue to participate.
Okay, Councilman Hanson.
Thanks. Number one is on the monofill. I do think it's important that we submit our comments to that. You know, like was mentioned by Stephanie, that, you know, as a gateway to Palmer, it's gonna hopefully improve with a four lane end coming into town, and I would hate to think that we're greeted with a monofill. I also believe that what was by noted with Stephanie is that you know, these conditional uses are only as good as the petitioners, and we're lucky to have a what I believe is a model monofill in our city with very, very responsible operators, and I don't see the same commitment to the type of work that Alaska Demolition does. The other thing I have is on the sales tax. You know, I think we do need to take a look at it. I think there's some things in there that are askew. I've discussed this with the finance department myself when I came in to pay sales tax. You know, the federal government allows you to file additional income based on your Social Security number, and I think we need to be able to do that ourselves. You know, to be able to come in without a state, borough, city business license to file income or you know, sales tax for a bedroom, you know. So I think there are some things that we need to look at in that sales tax quagmire. Lastly, I'd like to thank Mr. Haberman for his diligence in trying to keep us up to speed. However, I respectfully disagree with many of your comments, especially pertaining to the conflict of interest tonight. I've had consultations with a couple different attorneys, but your opinions are always welcome, and we're always listening, but sometimes we don't hear them completely.
Councilman Fuller, do you have comments?
I'd like to agree here with Mr. Hanson on the monofill right off the bat. I think that's going to be a huge impact, especially, like you said, the gateway to Palmer. And again, too, with the sales tax, it seems like we all got to play by the rules, and I think maybe, you know, you're maybe a case in point, but is there something we could look at or how we're enforcing this in the city and how we're getting that word out? Because it just seems, I when I first met him at a P&Z meeting, I looked it up at how Florida runs theirs. He brought it up at P&Z, and I told him to come to the council meeting. But Florida is the only other state that does this, and with taxing, you know, landlords with sales tax. So I just thought, you know, maybe how is it that we can do better to avoid a situation like that, you know? But
okay. No, I'm sorry. Yeah.
But other than that, small business Saturday coming up, and Turkey Day in 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Councilman Fuller, did you want to ask for a report back from the city manager and see?
I'd really appreciate, you know, like I said, if we could figure out, if we could see how are we enforcing this to begin with, instead of coming down like a hammer on the first guy that comes in, and we realize, you know, it's kind of like if we haven't been enforcing it, it seems it's kind of sticky, you know. It doesn't seem right. Then suddenly today we're going to start enforcing the law, you know.
Okay. Is there any objections to asking the city manager for a report? No. Okay. All righty. Thank you. Councilwoman Combs.
Thank you. I can't believe Councilman Fuller didn't mention football. He got the turkey in there, you know, and he got in ahead of me on Small Business Saturday. So Small Business Saturday is this coming Saturday. There's more than two dozen businesses locally that have all kinds of specials. Please look for it in the newspapers, on websites, Facebook. Everywhere. They've been everywhere. Many of the businesses already have the signs up in their windows. I do know that some places like B. Bell is going to start. There's special deals if you show up at 7 a.m. Now, normally the employees aren't even there at 7 a.m., but they're coming in at 7 so that they'll be there for specials. So all day long, and then, of course, it does culminate that that evening with Country Cuts fireworks. So it's a great way to show your support of your community, in particular your small businesses, so that they keep their doors open. We keep our downtown, which, by the way, is looking more festive by the day. So I just would urge the council to plan on being downtown a great deal on Saturday and, you know, bopping in and out of all these places, which includes there's a terrific bunch of deals going to be at the Palmer Museum, guys. So make sure that you stop in there as well. So, then the one thing the mayor didn't mention, and I know we got another chance next Tuesday, but still, let's go ahead and get it in. She will be joining Mayor Cottle and I believe Mayor Halter on November 30th at a joint Chamber of Commerce meeting. If you get a chance, that would be an excellent meeting to find out what all's going on. Is that going to be here in Palmer, Mayor?
Yes, and yeah, it's joint with Wasilla Chamber.
Right. Yeah, right. So, so that means it'll be at the Moose Lodge, 11:45 on November 30th. So, if you get a chance, that would be a great one to attend. So, audience participation. As I've always said, if they really want to say something to this council, they will be here and they will say it. And it was great to have folks here this evening. Thank you.
Okay. Being no further business to come before the council, the meeting is adjourned.